What if the person you loved most was the one orchestrating your downfall? Eutin Cole had it all, a high-paying job at a tech firm, a Lakeview condo, and a fiancé who seemed too good to be true. But when a stranger approached him in a parking garage with a simple question, "Why are you letting her do this to you?" everything began to unravel. Within weeks, his accounts were frozen, his identity stolen, and his career destroyed. And the woman he trusted to stand by him, gone without a trace. But this isn't just a story of heartbreak or betrayal. It's about something darker, something calculated. Behind every sweet smile and soft kiss was a web of manipulation designed to isolate, dismantle, and erase him. Was it all part of a romantic con? Or was Ethan merely collateral in a much bigger scheme? This story dives into the twisted psychology of emotional deception, weaponized love, and the terrifying ease with which trust becomes a trap. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Perfect Lie. Ethan Cole had always been the quiet overachiever. At 34, he was lead product engineer at Lumina, a bleeding-edge tech company specializing in facial recognition software. Reserved but charming, Ethan wasn't the type to brag about success. He simply built it, line by line, bite by bite. He had a good circle of friends. Their work often came first. The only missing piece? A partner who could match his ambition and calm his overthinking mind. Enter Ava Monroe. He met her at a startup pitch night in Brooklyn. Long red dress, flawless posture, a confidence that silenced rooms. She introduced herself as a UX designer with a background in behavioral psychology. Their conversation that night ran past midnight, and by morning, they were inseparable. Within 2 months, she'd practically moved in. By 6, they were engaged. "She makes me feel like I'm finally seen," Ethan told his best friend Marcus. "It's not just love, it's clarity." But clarity doesn't come so easily. It didn't come with the subtle changes in his schedule, the gradual isolation from friends, the financial suggestions Ava made that he didn't question. Merging bank accounts, shifting passwords, consolidating debts. "Trust is transparency," she would say, brushing her hand against his cheek. And Ethan believed her. But things shifted after he turned down a lucrative promotion at Lumina, one that would have transferred him to San Francisco. Ava insisted they stay in New York. "This is our home," she argued. "We're building something here." What she didn't mention was that she had already quit her job 3 weeks prior. Then came the stranger. It happened on a foggy Monday evening, just before dusk. Ethan was leaving the office late, his coat flapping in the autumn wind. As he approached his car in the underground garage, a man, tall, olive-skinned, maybe mid-40s, stepped into his path. "You don't know me," the man said quietly, "but you need to ask her about Mayfield Trust before it's too late." Ethan froze. "I'm sorry, what?" The man glanced over his shoulder, then walked off into the stairwell. No name, no further explanation. That night, Ethan casually asked Ava if she'd ever worked for or heard of Mayfield Trust. She blinked. "What is that?" "Some kind of law firm." Her voice didn't waver, but her fingers paused mid-keystroke on her phone. Ethan noticed, but he didn't press. Days later, his Lumina login failed. Then his personal email, then his bank cards. When he called customer service, he was told his account had been flagged due to suspicious behavior, multiple large withdrawals, password changes from foreign IPs, credit lines opened in his name, and every last one of them tied to his personal devices. The worst blow came when Lumina placed him on unpaid leave pending a fraud investigation. Someone had accessed proprietary software from his personal IP address, violating every security protocol in the company. Ethan was stunned. He turned to Ava in desperation. She hugged him. "We'll get through this," she whispered. But something about her eyes didn't match her tone. That weekend, Ethan discovered she was gone. No forwarding address. Her phone line disconnected. Her social media wiped. The only thing left behind was a USB drive taped under the sink. On it, a folder titled Flare Protocol. Inside, audio recordings of him, phone calls, arguments, passwords spoken aloud. A journal of his, movements, timestamps, locations, mood tracking, surveillance, by her. And then a text document. It read, "Target, Ethan Cole. Objective, psychological erosion, asset access, identity pivot, status, phase 3 complete, extraction underway." Beneath it were names, dozens, all men, all labelled with dates, cities and notes like trigger point, loss of job, or fractured family, vulnerability. Ethan stared at the screen, heart pounding, realisation sinking in. She wasn't a partner. She was a predator. Chapter 2. The Black Files. Ethan didn't sleep that night. The betrayal had peeled him raw, but the strategist in him, the engineer, kicked in. He wasn't just a victim anymore. He needed answers, and maybe, just maybe, he needed revenge. He began decoding the file structure on the USB. Buried in encrypted folders were images, ID scans, voice notes, even screen recordings. Not just of him, of others. Different homes, different accents, different versions of the same story. Each victim was referred to as a phase, and Ava, if that was her real name, used code names like Vespa, Lyra, and Marlowe, depending on region and target profile. But one folder stood out, Mayfield Archive. Inside were scans of bank transfers tied to an offshore entity, Mayfield Trust. It was a shell corporation based in Cyprus, used to route money between dummy accounts. And Ava was just one of many operatives. Ethan cross-referenced the transaction IDs with public data leaks. Most of the accounts had been flagged in past ransomware attacks. But this wasn't digital theft. This was psychological warfare. Ethan called Marcus. "I think she's part of a blackmail ring. Or worse, a psychological siphon program. They target high-value men and strip them dry." Marcus was skeptical, until Ethan showed him the files. The two of them spent weeks connecting dots. Victims ranged from venture capitalists to government contractors. The common thread? Emotional trauma before financial ruin. And Ava, now confirmed via facial recognition software as Isabel Renner, had a criminal record sealed by a high-level protection order. One Ethan could only access through a darknet whistleblower group that posted redacted law enforcement leaks. Her backstory was grim. At 17, Isabel had been part of a state-run experiment designed to test the limits of empathy-based surveillance. Recruited from foster care, she was trained to manipulate high-risk individuals using emotion mapping, micro-expression analysis, and seduction tactics. The program was shut down due to unethical design. But some graduates went rogue. A black market industry emerged, predatory emotional espionage. And Isabel, she was its crown jewel. Ethan traced her last known transaction to Montreal. Using the metadata from one of her webcam recordings, he triangulated the location to a boutique apartment above an art gallery. He flew there, alone. She was expecting him. He found her sitting by a bay window, sipping wine, hair shorter, smile unchanged. "You made it," she said softly. "I was wondering how long it would take." "Why?" he asked. "Why me?" "Because you were perfect," she said. "Smart enough to dig, soft enough to bleed. Ethan pulled out his phone. I've copied everything. Sent it to 3 people. If I disappear... She laughed. You think you're the first? A silence passed. Then Ethan said something she didn't expect. I'm not here to hurt you. I want in. She froze. He continued. I know your system. I know code. I know how to stay invisible. You trained me. Her eyes narrowed. And for a brief second, she believed him. That's when Montreal police burst through the door. She was arrested on charges of aggravated identity theft, psychological abuse, and cyber terrorism. Ethan had tipped them off days before, using burner emails with the black file as evidence. As she was led out in cuffs, she turned back to Ethan. You learned well, she whispered. Maybe too well. Months later, Ethan returned to New York. He never got his job back. But he did get something else, the names of 32 other men. Men who were still living in confusion, not knowing they'd been prey. And one by one, he contacted them. Not for vengeance, for recovery, for truth. Because when trust becomes a weapon, survival is the only rebellion.